When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
The Christmas debate rages on.
And I'm bringing Susan Ferriccio into it. Susan Ferriccio, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Good morning. You're on Mornings on the Mall. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
All right. So before we go anywhere, I need to know, are you pro-Christmas creep, meaning Christmas before even Halloween, or do you think Christmas starts as soon as Thanksgiving dinner is done?
Well, I think the creep has gotten out of hand. I mean, I see decorations in the stores the day after Halloween.
Oh.
So I am all in favor of waiting till after Thanksgiving. I think there's so much overload that we need to just keep it to that short few weeks before
you
Christmas.
Layers of fun.
I knew there was a reason I like you. All right. Thank you for that. So now we can. Now you're allowed to stay.
Awesome.
let's talk about Roy Moore and what's going on with Roy Moore and these allegations. And the Republicans acting like Republicans and saying, well, if this is true, he's got to go. We're not going to know if it's true until well after the election. Where is the support from the Republicans?
Well, you know, he never had a lot of enthusiastic support in the Senate. He wasn't the establishment pick. Remember, Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, had backed Luther Strange, who is the incumbent who was appointed to the seat. So he never had a lot of enthusiastic support. He kind of had some lukewarm backing from senators after he won the primary. It was really interesting yesterday because we were all in the hallways waiting for the senators to come out from the tax briefing. And the way that this evolved was fascinating. The story came out. We were all reading it on our phones, and we started asking senators about it. And it quickly evolved from senators saying, well, I haven't read the story yet. And then within a few minutes, they were all saying, you know, if it's true, he needs to step aside. It was really, really pretty quick, the way they dropped him like a hot rock, as Mitch McConnell once said about Donald Trump. And what was also really interesting was this, and this never happens, Mitch McConnell came out of the chamber, the Senate chamber, during a vote to talk to reporters. Now, he avoids us, you know, he never talks to us in the hallways. He only does these formal things at the microphone. He came out to the scrum, to this giant scrum of reporters, to give a statement saying that Roy Moore should step aside if the allegations are true. So they were taking a very strong stance against this pretty quickly. And it was in part because he was never, you know, a well-liked candidate to begin with. And the way the allegations look right now, I think Republicans are quite fearful that it could cost them the seat or just hurt the party.
These
generally.
Conditional calls for him to step down, though, aren't going to do much good in light of the fact that he says they aren't true. So he's basically saying, look, this is not true. This is defamation. I'm going to keep running. So what are Republicans left with in terms of options?
Right. Now, you remember, Roy Moore was, again, not the establishment pick, and he won anyway. He was sort of this defiant candidate running against the establishment. So what's to say he's going to drop out now that people are presenting allegations that are decades old and he claims are not true?
Right.
So it sounds like he's staying in at this moment. All, you know, President Trump said he should step aside if the allegations are true also, or do the right thing. It's a big question. There could be a write-in candidacy. Republicans could get behind something like that. But there's no telling what his supporters think. If they feel that this is a plot to throw him out by the Republican establishment, there's been a lot to talk about that. So there's a lot of there's some doubt about the allegations, not by people who are questioning the victims, obviously, or so-called victims, but by people who back Roy Moore and feel like that there's long been an effort to push him out, and this is just another one of those efforts. So you have those two storylines going
on.
Yeah,
and it's
now
a surprise delivered in the month before the election itself. So let's switch over for a moment to taxes, because the Senate Republicans released their own version of a tax bill yesterday. What is the biggest difference here between the Senate and the House version, and what's more likely to be what they go closer to?
The big difference and the thing that might get changed is the corporate tax rate. Both chambers cut it to 20%, but the Senate delays it to 2019. That Republicans in the House tell me that's a non-starter for them. Also, Republicans in the Senate are telling me they don't like that either. They want the corporate tax rate to hit right away so that it would spur economic growth, wage growth, job growth that they say it will. That's the biggest problem I see right now. When I first talked to senators who just walked out of the room, the things they said that bothered them the most was that corporate tax rate. And you may see a change there. However, Republicans did it that way so that it would change the way it costs the Treasury. You know, if you delay it, you delay the cost impact as well. I see that as the one that may that's the one that may go down or be at least part of a compromise with the House bill.
But you know, that doesn't really it doesn't really make the people happy because they want to see tax relief now. They want the money back in their wallets now. And there's a piece in the Washington Post about how the upper middle class feels like they're going to be the ones that are footing the bill for this.
Well, this is a fascinating way they've done this because they wanted to aim it at the middle class, that family of four making under $60,000 a year. However, there are people in districts. This is going to pit district against district in the House. It already has. These upper income districts like San Diego, parts of New Jersey, parts of New York, where people are paying, their bracket actually goes up a couple percentage points, and they're losing part of their deductions on property and all of their deductions on state local income taxes. So they may be that small group of people who's going to pay more, who is not going to get a cut. That's right. You're going to see pushback from them. But the Republican leadership in general says, hey, well, they're the higher income earners. So we're still aiming this bill at lower middle class or middle class and people trying to get there. So who's going to really complain about this? They wrote this to shield themselves from criticism from the Democrats, but they are kind of hitting their own the upper income earners in their own party. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah, and in those states, even in Maryland too, people who are making what's considered upper middle class apparently, but nobody gives us any numbers as to what's middle class, what's upper middle class. Nobody gives you any numbers. You know, middle class in the state of Maryland goes as high as almost $158,000, and that's considered middle class in Maryland. Well, according to Washington, you know what? You can get rid of some. You have extra money you don't need.
Right. And that's part of the frustration here. This is a smaller group of people, though, in Congress. And it's all about the numbers, Mary. It's how do they come up with the votes? And those folks are outnumbered by everybody else, basically. And that's what this is going to boil down to. You will lose people who represent those districts.
Yeah.
They won't vote for it. But everybody else will.
This is what happens when you can't afford lobbyists. You lose out when these negotiations come down to it. Thank you very much, Susan Ferriccio, for giving us a update on everything going on in Congress.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, chat with you soon. More ahead, 7:23 on WML.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.